today. You know what?
We can all use a laugh, right? And sometimes, maybe some of us may just even want to hear...
Smile. You're on Candid Camera.
Today, we learn more with Peter Funt about Candid Camera and laughter therapy. Thanks for listening and subscribing to Learning More, where each episode we bring you a new story about people, inventions, pop culture, and life. I'm your host, Russ, and this week we're going to discuss laughing. We've had a pretty heavy couple of episodes over the last couple of weeks here. We've talked about climate change, global warming, all of these crazy things, and you know what? We've all been dealt some pretty heavy topics lately. So I figured, you know what? Let's talk a little laugh therapy. Let's have a little fun today. And they say that laughter is the best medicine, right? That's been said forever. And I am a strong believer in that. I think making a joke in a tough situation can actually make it a little easier to handle. And one of the reasons for that is because I grew up watching Candid Camera. And I think one of the best laugh lines ever is smile, you're on Candid Camera. I find it impossible not to smile after hearing that. So we're going to talk about Candid Camera, laugh therapy, and a new book. To do so, I'm joined by Peter Funt. Peter, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Russ. Great to be with you.
Peter has hosted the TV show Candid Camera, which his dad, Alan Funt, invented. He's also written for the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, too many places to mention as far as where you've mentioned ABC News. You've hosted other shows, specials, and you've authored several books, including his newest one, Self-Amused, a tell-some memoir. So Peter, it's a tell-some, not a tell-all. Did you bring in some of the juicy stuff?
I did. I thought tell some was appropriate just in case I want to write a second book. You know, I don't want to waste all my best material. No, I'm just trying to be a smart aleck there. It's a pretty insightful book about my little corner of the world and the experiences I've had. And there's plenty in there about Candid Camera. You know, I found already the book has only been out a few weeks, and I've already heard from people that, you know, those who only want to know about Candid Camera wish it was entirely that way in the book. Those who are fascinated by some of the quirky and strange experiences I've had off camera wish I did a little bit more than that. So it's like a 50-50 balance. And I gave it my best shot. And there's plenty in there about Candid Camera for the Candid Camera fans. You know, you mentioned the value of laughter, and I know we'll get into that more. Mm-hmm. But certainly if people needed a good laugh or the endorphins that come with laughing out loud, there couldn't be a better time for it than right now. We're all feeling stressed. We're all shut in. We're all worried. There's so many things going on, and I am not suggesting that laughter is a cure for all of our problems. I'm simply saying it helps to feel better if you can at least smile, or maybe just segregate the things in your life. You've got the serious stuff, and you've got the other stuff. So let's start by at least getting a laugh at the other stuff, which is to say, let's not sweat the small stuff, right?
Okay, so I saw a quote, and I'll get right into that here with your dad. He said, when a tragedy occurs, people often feel the presence of humor is suddenly inappropriate. Their attitude seems to say, this is no laughing matter. But I feel the opposite. I believe that laughing matters, and it's more essential for me in tough times than ever. And I feel like that's a great quote for right now, for all the stuff that we're dealing with in the world.
Yeah, my dad was a very smart guy. I think what he was saying was an extension of what I just tried to say, which is he's not suggesting that in terrible times you laugh at the terrible things. He's saying that during bad times, you find little things within your world that you can laugh about. I know for a fact, as you know, that some of the funniest things, believe it or not, are said by emergency service workers, cops, surgeons in the emergency room of hospitals, people on the front lines. My goodness, battle humor from the world wars in Vietnam is legendary. And this mm-hmm. is not because people were laughing at the risks they were facing, but rather they were trying to get some sort of comfort and release by finding a tiny little thing to smile about and laugh mm-hmm. about.
It's so important in life to do that. You though, I mean, basically, you've been trained your entire life to look at the funny. I mean, so, okay, so correct me if I'm wrong here, but you were born the same year that Candid Camera came out, right?
Yes. And Candid Camera just celebrated its 73rd anniversary this month, August. And so it's been around a long time. It's been on and off and on and back off and on. Right now we're working on a new deal to get it back in new production on TV.
Awesome.
But meanwhile, I'm encouraged by the fact that our YouTube channel, during this stressful COVID period, is really booming. I mean, people mm-hmm. are going to YouTube for a lot of things, not just Candid Camera. But on our site, which is called Candid Camera Classics on YouTube, boy, it's just growing and growing. And what I'm most interested in are the comments that people are leaving, because they really appreciate a laugh right now. I'll tell you, though, mm-hmm. something that I noticed about those comments, Russ. And in fact, I wrote about it this week in the Wall Street Journal. People get very confused about nostalgia. We all, especially in tough times, yearn for the good old days. Well, mm-hmm. here's the problem with that. When you look at YouTube clips of Candid Camera, you're seeing a mixture of things that were shot as long ago as 50, 60 years ago, and as recently as 2 or 3 years ago, and many stops in between. The YouTube viewers seem to be confused about that, and they view it all as in the past, and almost equally so. So mm-hmm. I find, and I kind of chuckle, when somebody watches a sequence that we shot 3 or 4 years ago, they don't realize that. So they comment, oh boy, those were the good old days. And you could never do that today. And wasn't it wonderful back then? And of course, they're just confused about the time frame. Somebody smarter than me noted that nostalgia is relative. Mm-hmm. And yeah, things tend to look either much better or sometimes much worse in the rear view mirror. So mm-hmm. I ended my Wall Street Journal piece by quoting Carly Simon from 1971 when she sang, "These are the good old days." And that's what I think. This is pretty good right now, despite all of our stress and problems. For me, these are the good old days.
Yeah. That's a great way to look at life. I mean, yeah. If you can live in the now and just enjoy what's going on. I mean, there's always something funny. There's always something good, despite all the bad. There's always something good going on. And okay, so we gotta go way back to the beginning here. Talk about growing up on the set of Candid Camera.
So just to be clear, there was never a set for our show.
That's true, right? Yeah, because you're out and about, which makes it even more difficult, I would assume.
I wish there'd been a set, because then you'd have a craft service table and a makeup lady and all that stuff. And we were usually shooting in gas stations or, you know, mm-hmm. very cramped and unappealing conditions. But it is true that my dad gave me my first taste of this when I was 3 years old. And he put me out on the street corner in New York City with a shoeshine box and told me to try to charge $10 per shoe. I don't know if it was funny. And in fact, we'll never really know, because back then they never thought to save the footage.
They threw out
the unused footage, they didn't even save the finished shows. once right. it was on the air, they just
tape was expensive. Yeah.
They never dreamed that we'd be sitting here so many decades later wondering about it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how I did that day, but I moved on. And by the time I was 15, I managed to do something that led to the cover of my book. The book that I just put out is called Self Amused, but the cover image is a black and white picture from when I was 15. And my dad decided that he could make an upside down room. And this would be a windowless room in an office building where everything that should have been on the floor was connected upside down and hanging from the ceiling. And in order to complete the effect, he needed someone young enough, nimble enough, dare I say, stupid enough to hang upside down and talk to unsuspecting people as they came into this room. And that was me. Well, what we learned right away was you can only hang that way for a minute, minute and a half, and then all the blood rushes to your head. And you guys rushed out to bring me down and, you know, get me straightened out and then back up. And we did this all day long. And it made a good picture, good enough for the cover of my book, but it did not make a particularly good candid camera sequence. The people who came into the room were just too shocked to react. There is a point of diminishing returns in our type of comedy and experimentation. If you go too far, you get no reaction. And so these folks just bolted out of the room and we didn't get much out of it. But for me, that was quite a baptism. And so it went.
Right. That's fun. So you basically got to travel all around because you mentioned you didn't really have a set. I would think that shooting on the road would be very difficult, especially for something like this. You're walking into situations where you've got to do the lighting, hide the cameras. I read in the book about a time in a small hotel, I believe it was in Albuquerque, and there was an incident with the cactus.
Yeah.
What happened there?
You know, I cite it because mercifully, for all that I've done on the show, and I think it's several thousand sequences that I've been in personally, we've really been pretty lucky. I've never been physically assaulted. I've never gotten, you know, injured. And I was only sued once, and that's a whole chapter in the book and not the point right at this moment. But in that little hotel motel setup in New Mexico, I was talking, I'll tell you what the gag was. I was the clerk, and I was telling the customers that the rates are very low, but of course, to make up for it, we do charge a little bit extra for each thing that you might need. So, for example, hangers, metal hangers are 50 cents each, and wood is $1, and towels are $1.50 for the big ones, and yada, yada. So I'm talking to this one woman, and there's a guy who I guess was with her in the back of the room, in the back of the shot, could barely see him. But at one point, he backed up and became impaled on a big cactus that was there, and it stuck to his back, just like a cartoon. And the guy is running around the room with this cactus hanging off his back. And I don't believe I've ever seen anything quite like that. We finally got it off him and then needed pliers to pull out the remaining prongs that stuck in his back. I guess if we were going to be sued, he could have sued us, but he didn't. It was an accident. But stuff happens. You know,
we
go out doing our kind of work, and we love to catch people, and we love to not know who we're going to catch next. But with that comes the fact that maybe they're having a hard day. Maybe they got things on their mind. So what my dad and I sort of tried to perfect in the course of our respective careers was not just trying to be funny. In some respects, that's the easiest part. The more difficult part was to take people's temperature to figure out as quickly as we could how much they wanted to play along, how far we could push, what their mood was, et cetera, because we don't want to push people too far. And Candid Camera has always been a people-loving program. It sounds so fundamental, but if you compare our work with other so-called reality or hidden camera shows, you find that many of them seem, at least, to be trying to prove that people are stupid. And that's not our mission at all. We think people are great, and we think they're good sports, the way they smile when we tell them they're on Candid Camera. And for many of the people we photograph, being caught by our show could very well be the single most exciting moment of their life. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. So it's a big responsibility, and we've always taken it very seriously.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things. I remember growing up watching this, and I don't know how many times in my life I said, "Smile, you're on Candid Camera," to people, just because, you know, it's a funny laugh line. It's there. And
you can mail your check for that to my P.O. box.
There you go. I got to pay you for each time I say it. All right. And, you know, what I like about Candid Camera, though, it's so lighthearted. Like you said, it's like you're not trying to hurt people. Like, you see these natural reactions. I watched a couple of clips on your YouTube channel, which, by the way, I'll put a link in the description so anybody listening can go check it out. I strongly suggest that you do. I watched some old clips from the 50s where you had like attractive teachers coming in and introducing themselves to a pair of kids. And the reactions to the kids, I mean, it was just so funny. And so, like, they didn't even have to say anything. You just watch it on their faces. I mean, it's just, it's feel good humor. And yeah, we do need that right now. Okay, so we talked a little about laugh therapy. We will talk a little bit more about that. We'll take a short break here. When we come back, we'll have more. If you enjoy history, maybe you're just feeling a little nostalgic, or you wonder who's having a birthday today, or maybe you need a reason to celebrate. Well, we've got the perfect podcast for you. It is called This Is Today. And each and every day, we talk about the historic events, celebrity birthdays. We also talk about whatever is going on today. There's always something to celebrate when you listen to This Is Today. And at just 10 minutes each day, you can make it a daily habit. You can even add it to your Alexa Flash briefing. Click the link in the description or just search in your favorite podcast app for This Is Today. Thanks for listening and subscribing to Learning More. I'm Russ with you. And yeah, we're talking about having a good laugh here. As I mentioned before, we've had some pretty heavy topics on the show, and we're all going through a lot these days. So I figure, you know, let's talk laugh therapy. Let's talk just smiling, laughing in the moment. I have to tell you, Peter, when I walked into the interview today, I was a little nervous. I looked for cameras in the studio here. I wasn't sure that, you know, maybe I would be on the show.
You think you were nervous? My father and I have been nervous almost our entire respective lives because we fear that we would go someplace and somebody would try to trick us. And the fear wasn't that we would be tricked. The fear was that we wouldn't react graciously. And that's a lot of pressure. We used to go visit affiliates, TV affiliates around the country. And invariably, we'd get off the plane or come out of the car, and, you know, we got pretty good at spotting it because they'd have a fake cop trying to arrest us or something going on. But yeah, we were kind of worried about how would we stand up to the test that we put so many other people to.
Have you ever been actually tricked?
No.
No.
Simple answer, no.
Wow. And, I guess you've been trained to spot it.
I guess you could say that. You know, the truth is, my dad and I were never particularly inclined toward practical joking. I didn't grow up in a house that had dribble glasses or whoopee cushions or something like that. My dad really fancied himself a student of human nature, and the best parts of Candid Camera, as he saw it, were observing people and how they handle situations. Sometimes that could be a little bit of stress and how they handle that. And I mean very mild stress. Other times it was really just a fly on the wall. He did terrific sequences about such simple things as how people chew gum, how people tie their shoes, how people walk up and down stairs. I did one just a few years ago about how women try to put on false eyelashes. And, you know, you could have gimmicked that up. You could have made, I don't know, played with the glue or made them too long, or, but we didn't. It was just what you saw was what life presented, and we just thought it was fascinating, and it was. So Candid Camera has always, at its best, been a rich blend of a little bit of joking and a little bit of studying human nature and a little bit of laughter therapy.
You're recognized from Candid Camera. You've got the last name Funt. How do you walk into a bank and ask for a loan? Are people just looking for cameras? I mean, is it tough?
Well, to the extent that people recognize me or did my dad, we're just flattered by that. You know, the only thing worse than the burden of being recognized in public is the horror of not being recognized. So if that's the price of admission, I don't mind it one bit. And I'm glad if people think, where's the camera when they see me. You know, for all the people we've photographed over now 8 different decades, going on 9, for all of those people, I hear tell there's a vastly larger number of people who have thought at one time or another they were on Candid Camera, and they really weren't. We weren't there at all. But they write us letters and emails saying, the darndest thing happened, I had to write to you because my dog did this or my husband did this, and I could have sworn I was on Candid Camera.
That's funny. Well, I mean, you guys have had such an impact on everyone's life. So before the interview here, we were talking about you're out in Monterey, which is famous for Clint Eastwood being mayor at one point. Have you run into Clint?
He lives here in Pebble Beach, where I live. And of course, his former wife, no longer, but at the time, Dina, was my co-host for 3 years on Candid Camera when we did a cable version of the show. Just a wonderful lady, Dina Eastwood. And Clint, yeah, I've played golf with Clint. I write in the book that he is such a quirky man. He was kind enough to give my family and I a ride on the Warner Brothers jet to go back and forth from Monterey to Burbank. And the first time we took that flight, we're on the plane waiting for Clint. And here comes this guy down the aisle to take his seat. And he is carrying a baby pig. Now, let me just pause while you process that. This is the Clint Eastwood. And he's cuddling a baby pig. I'm told it was a Vietnamese potbelly pig. And it turns out that he and his family just love various animals. They're way beyond dogs and cats. They're into pigs and all sorts of stuff. Oh, but what a juxtaposition. You know, this is one of the most powerful guys in Hollywood, one of the toughest guys you'd ever want to meet. And here he is just sort of fawning over this little pig. I write in the book, anytime I think I've seen it all, I just remember that moment.
Yeah, I was trying to get you to tell that story, because I read that and I'm like, Really? This is crazy. There's plenty of more like that in this book. And I feel like, yeah, this book was sort of laugh therapy for me. But let's talk a little about the Laugh Therapy Foundation. What is that?
That's a nonprofit that my dad began back in the, I guess, the late 70s, early 80s. And we still operate that today. It just basically involves us sending specially selected candid camera videos to critically ill people at no charge whatsoever. If you know someone who you think could benefit from that, you can go to our website, candidcamera.com, and then you can find your way to laughter therapy, and we'll take it from there. But my father learned back then, principally from the author Norman Cousins. Way back in the 70s, Norman Cousins, who was a writer, editor of the Saturday Review, smart guy, he was sick, and he wrote a very successful book called Anatomy of an Illness. And in that book, he mentioned that when he was feeling his worst, he called my dad, asked if he could borrow some candid camera film. And back then, he even needed a projector in his hospital room to look at the stuff. But they set it up. And he reported that if he could get maybe 15 or 30 minutes of laughter watching this stuff, he could be pain-free for 3 or 4 hours. And wow. He tested it over and over and found that it really worked. Now, I'm no doctor, I'm no scientist, I'm not making any medical claims. I simply point out that laughter is good, it can make you feel better, it might even increase healing, and as Mr. Cousins found out, a little bit can go a long way. But most importantly, what he wrote was, there was something about the reality of it. Because he tried Marx Brothers and he tried, you know, sitcoms and stuff. And laugh is good no matter how you get it. But Candid Camera in particular just struck such a responsive chord that it worked well. And my dad decided to call that laughter therapy.
It's so real. It's real emotion that you're witnessing from these people. It's kind of like, I guess the comparison that I would make is I've watched so many of these soldiers coming home reunion type videos. Those always get to me, and it's because of the real emotion. It's not staged. It's not fake. It's real. And it's funny to say with Candid Camera, I mean, so many of the situations are fake, but the emotions are so real.
It's the relatability as well. When we pick our topics properly, we're keying in on things that people experience themselves. So if they see something happening in one of our sequences, I like it when they're saying in the living room there, oh yeah, I hate it when that happens, or oh right, that I went through something like that the other day. I don't mean an elaborate joke. I mean the little things in life that drive us all crazy, whether it's the yogurt machine that turns on but won't turn off. This is one of my favorites that I think everyone can relate to. We just exaggerated it. Have you ever left a parking lot that has one of those wooden bars that is down, and then once you put in your money or your ticket, the bar goes up and you go through? But sometimes it seems that's going too fast, especially if you can't quite reach the machine. So you've got to get out, do your thing, and then by the time you get back in, the bar's back down again. So we rigged it so we could control the bar. Of course, with us at the controls, no one could get out.
Oh, right.
And
right.
It was just up and down, back and forth. And yet, even though we exaggerated the situation, the basic premise was right out of everyday life. Everyone who's ever parked a car in that type of lot can relate. And that's what makes it what I called relatable. And as you said, funny because it's real.
Yeah. And you know, actually you bring up too, and some of the inventions that you guys came up with, the tanning machines or whatever it was, like these funny inventions that were out there, How much work did you guys put into R&D?
The R&D usually takes place in our private lives. I mean, I'm always on the lookout for little things that drive me crazy or, you know, I like to say, you know, the phrase, don't get mad, get even. In my case, it's don't get mad, do a candid camera sequence. That's how I like it when things play out. But look, there are formulas and we follow them. One of them, and I outline a bunch of these in the book, one of them is reversal. So you, in a shorthand reference, said a tanning machine. But there are tanning machines. So the one we made reversed that, and we produced an untanning machine. So the customer thinks you can go in. Maybe you're just a little too dark today. You got burned at the beach. You go into this marvelous machine, push a few buttons, and voila, you're come out two shades lighter. Now, the secret to that machine, like so many of the props I've built, identical twins. That's a magician's favorite tool, and we've used it for years on Candid Camera. If I hire two twin actresses, and then I sort of put a lot of makeup on one so they look darkly tanned, and then white-type stuff on the other so they look very pale, and they switch places inside the machine, you would swear that this one person went from darker to lighter in the untanning machine. And it worked great.
Yeah, some of these, it is. It's like magic. You guys had to study all the magicians and learn all those tricks as well to do this. Okay, so are people, like now we've got technology, we've got all these advancements. Are people, do you think they're maybe harder to fool now, or are they easier to fool?
I'm so glad you asked. I am 100% certain that people are easier to fool than ever before. And I know that runs against your intuition, but I believe it's true. Yeah, these are more high-tech times and complicated times. But here's the thing. My dad used to have to work at distracting people so that he could do his little trick. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, people are self-distracting.
Right.
They're multitasking. They're on the phone. They're texting, heaven forbid, while driving. But I mean, they're doing all sorts of things. They got multiple things on their mind. We step in and do a little trick, and it's easier than ever to fool them. As to high tech, so you say the untanning machine. Would people be more or less likely to believe that today than in my father's day? Easier to believe because there's so much technology in our lives. Right. Why not that? I mean, think about, you know, we've got self-driving cars and we've got drones. Right. And so why can't we have, I'm making myself emotional here. Why can't we have an untanning machine?
You're right. We would be easier for those reasons. What about the changing of like kind of standards of comedy, what people think are funny? People are way more sensitive now, I guess, to some comedy. Do you think that would have any issues as far as like, you know, censorship or what you guys could do now versus what you could do before?
Censorship has always been a problem on Candid Camera, not because people said bad words very often. That always surprised me. Real life conversation is nowhere near as salty as you might assume. Yeah, sure, you go to certain places at certain times, certain to hear some colorful language. But the average person on the street, when encountering a stranger, does not use four-letter words. It just doesn't often happen. Mm-hmm. But the censors at networks, and they don't even use the word censor, they like to call themselves standards and practices.
Right.
And they were very troubled for decades by Candid Camera because it was too real. They were happy with double entendre in sitcoms. But if a real person said something, the standards and practices people got very nervous. Now, there were subjects that my dad, and I say subject, I don't mean the unsuspecting people, I mean topics that my dad dealt with that I don't think I'd want to touch today. For example, he and Durward Kirby once went out in the on the street in Bar Harbor, Maine, in the 60s, and stopped strangers and said, "Do you have any idea where we could go to buy a bomb?"
Oh, jeez.
Now, you know, the thing is, in 1962, 63, that was actually funny. People looked at him like, well, what do you mean, dynamite? You want to, you know, something in construction? But nobody thought terrorism or anything like that. It was just an innocent surprise. Mm-hmm. I would not do that today.
Right.
So, of course, times change and people's sensitivities change. And that's as it should be. And my job, as I see it, especially when we get back into new production shortly, is to stay one step ahead. Or at least keep pace.
In an episode, how much actually ends up on the cutting room floor? Are we seeing, you know, 10% or 1%? Just trying to get a feel of how much work this is.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, and it's like fishing, you know. You put your line in the water, and on a good day you might catch a nice fish in 10 minutes, but another time you're there all day and nothing's biting. And it's no different in our work. I would say that the percentage of stuff that it winds up on the air is fairly high. And when it's cut out, it's really not because people said the wrong thing. On our show, there is no wrong thing as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. But it's perhaps because it was redundant or we had a technical problem and things like that. Okay. A related question, of course, is, how many people give us permission, or to turn that around, how many people refuse to give us permission?
Yeah, you read my mind there on the next one.
And things have not changed since my dad's day. The answer is most people are happy to sign this little release form unless we happen to have caught them at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong other person. Mm-hmm. Because I'm here to report, if you photograph a guy who's out with someone else's wife, there's very little chance that they will sign a release. That's just how it goes.
I can see that. That's funny. So, okay, you've done so much in your life. As I mentioned kind of in the credits early on, you know, you've written for Wall Street Journal. You worked for ABC News. Of course, all the work with Candid Camera. What would you say is your proudest achievement?
Oh my, I don't, I wish I could say I had one. You know, you mentioned these various things I've done, and I do recount some of the crazier ones in the book, but it's kind of like how I talk about sports. I play a lot of baseball and I play a lot of golf. When I'm on the golf course, I like to make an excuse by saying baseball is my sport. And when I'm playing baseball, I point to how good I can be at golf. Well, it's the same thing in my career. When I'm writing, I say, well, I'm not such a good writer, but I could do television. But when I'm struggling on TV, I say, well, I'm basically a writer. So I guess my pride, Russ, is I'm staying one step ahead of my own game and trying as many different things as I can and hoping to smile while I'm doing it.
That's awesome. Okay. Can you've said smile. Every time you say it, I think you're going to say the line. Can you give me the line?
I'd be surprised if sometime, somewhere, someplace, when you least expect it, someone steps up to you and says, smile. You're on Candid Camera.
Oh, that gave me chills. Peter, thank you so much for joining me today.
A real pleasure, Russ. Thank you.
Make sure you check out Peter Funt's new book, Self-Amused, a tell-some memoir. Hilarious. Great stories of Candid Camera. More of what you heard in the interview in the book. There's a link to Amazon. You can get it there. You can also go to candidcamera.com, and that is also where you can order the book and learn more about laughter therapy. check out their YouTube channel as well. I'm putting a link to that because, oh my God, if you need to smile, you can do it by just watching that channel. Hey, we've got a podcast that talks about things like Candid Camera, all these cool nostalgic things that have happened in the past. Well, we talk about them on This Is Today. It's a daily podcast. Please do go check out that. There's a link to that in the podcast description as well. And you know what? They're in production of new Candid Camera episodes. We're in production of new Learning More episodes. We've got some new ones coming out. Just make sure you hit the subscribe so that you're first to know about all these new episodes coming up. Thanks for listening to Learning More. I'm Russ, and I'll talk to you next time.